Good morning, Rogers Park. Happy Palm Sunday to you. I'm John McGill, our associate pastor here. By the way, the folks at the Breakers community, they say hi to you this morning. Come say hi to them one of these days. Ed Krall says hi as well. We had a great time over there at their 8:45 service. In the book of Luke, we find Palm Sunday occurring in the 19th chapter. And I'll share a few more words about Palm Sunday as well, on top of the ones that have already been shared. But before I do that, we are going to continue where we left off last week in the 8th chapter, where we still find Jesus north of Jerusalem in the Galilean region. If you recall last week, Jesus was traveling around with his 12 disciples, and we came across a very moving scene with a woman who wiped Jesus' feet with her tears and hair. On top of that, we find other men and women coming to faith when they see Jesus, understand that all their hopes and forgiveness is fulfilled in him. And on top of that, there are also crowds of people wanting to approach Jesus. They know he's a healer. They know he's a teacher. They are kind of undecided about who Jesus is, but they still want to hear him teach nonetheless, so they're coming to him. And it's at this point in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus makes a pretty significant change in his teaching style. He begins to rely heavily on the usage of parables. Kids, are you familiar with Jesus' parables? Are they easy to understand or are they hard to understand? There's actually quite a bit of depth to that particular question. Today we're looking at one of Jesus' parables, the parable of the sower. And though upon hearing that common parable name, we might think the parable is about sowing, rather I want you to hear this, even though sowing is used as an illustration, the parable is primarily about listening and hearing, which is a bit convenient for today, because today is an all-family service, and listening and hearing may not be the easiest thing for all of us to do. Whether we're 4 years old or 40 years old, we shall find out if we can listen and hear today. But in the 18 verses we're reading today, Jesus uses the word hear or hearing five times. I'll tell you what, even if listening isn't our best today, there's still grace. Grace abounds. My only ask of you today is this, that you hear Jesus. The same exact ask that Jesus has for us in the passage today. So, the parable of the sower. We are turning to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 21. And I shall read them for us. And when a great crowd was gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. We're not talking about sowing with a spool of thread. We are talking about a farmer here. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones of the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and a time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. And for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But Jesus answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your word this morning. Help us to have eyes to see your word and ears to hear your word. Particularly, Father, would you help us to be good hearers this morning? Simply because that is what your word is asking us to do. And may we take from your word what it is that you desire for us to take. Would you stir our hearts, Father? Compel us to follow Jesus, to compel us to be conformed more like Jesus. Would you give us the desire to give you all the glory, Father, on this Palm Sunday? And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. In this parable, we read about a sower. What does a sower do? He's a farmer. And he spreads seed all around his farmland. That's what sowing is, spreading seed and planting seed. Now, what does spreading seed look like today? Now, here, this farmer has a pretty heavy-duty piece of equipment. This equipment here is sowing seed. It's putting seed exactly in the optimal place so that you make great usage of the farmland that this farmer has. And actually today, sowing is very sophisticated. It has farmers use GPS and drones. Drones can drop seed as well, and in addition to fertilizer and all kinds of stuff. But here's what sowing seed looked like during Jesus' time. Here we have a sower. Now, farms might have been about a third of the size than the ones that we see outside of Chicago. Here is soil here, and then there's some weeds and thorns and flowers and some rocks. Here's the hard path. And the sower is very generous with his seed. He likes to throw his seed on the good soil because that's the place where it's going to yield the most fruit. But he doesn't mind if the seed ends up in some of these other places. He sowed from October to December, and he had a bag kind of like this, or maybe something like this color. Seems like an old color, right? It's the best bag we could find in the closet. He's very generous with his seed because his main objective is to make sure that the land is flush with seed. And he doesn't care where it ends up. Now, don't worry. As the associate pastor here, you have a very good idea where the brooms and dustpans are. It's one of the many duties. The sower has no shortage of seed because he simply desires to cast a lot of it for a very successful harvest. This would have been a very relatable passage to the listeners, the great crowd that Jesus is telling this parable to. They would have understood the imagery very well. And in one sense, parables help the audience's understanding because the images paint a picture. And the images draw out curiosity. It begs more questions. And the more questions that we ask, the more we realize that there is more meaning underneath these short stories, beneath the surface. And it's only when you keep asking questions and answering questions or asking God to answer your questions that you fully understand the real meaning behind Jesus' parables. So, What does that mean if we don't ask any questions about Jesus' parables? What happens if we hear the parable and we don't really know what it's about? We don't ask any questions and actually we're just not that interested in it. Well, it means that the meaning of the parable remains hidden. Which brings us to a very important point about Jesus' parables. In one sense, they are meant to reveal, but in another sense, they are very much so meant to conceal. They are meant to reveal and conceal. And Jesus makes that point very clear to the disciples. He says to the disciples, these parables are going to reveal secrets about the kingdom to you, but the great crowds, well, for many in the crowd, that won't be the case. The secrets of the kingdom are going to remain hidden, and they won't understand these parables. Now, why does Jesus do this? Why use the parables that some can understand and some cannot? Jesus is deliberately separating people into two categories, those that hear and those that don't. Now, that might not seem super nice at first, but know this. Jesus separates those who hear from those who don't so that people at least have clarity of where they stand. That'd be one reason. And if someone does not hear now, when someone comes to a place of conviction, they've got some kind of a changed heart. They have a brand new eagerness and a willingness to learn. Because of this new conviction, well, all of a sudden, these parables begin to make sense, which Jesus welcomes with open arms, because they tell us about the kingdom and open our eyes to a much greater reality than what we had previously perhaps known existed. Now, as the text tells us, the disciples did not understand this parable right off the bat. And rather than giving the disciples time to ask questions and answer questions, just like I said we should do with these parables, Jesus, he actually just skips that step and he says, you know what, I'm just going to tell you, disciples, what this parable meant. So that's very convenient for us today. And so we're going to take some time now to look at both this parable and Jesus' convenient explanation. We already mentioned there's a sower throwing seed onto soil. Jesus goes on to tell us about four different soils. And each soil represents a different heart condition, or four responses of the heart. In fact, though we call this the parable of the sower, we could actually call this the parable of the soils, because Jesus really wants us to understand each of these four kinds of soils. And an appropriate question for each of us to answer today is, what kind of soil am I? Well, let's look at the first soil, verse 5. The first soil is the hard path. That doesn't look too nice. Very gray. Doesn't look like much can live there. The sower would be throwing his seeds everywhere. Let's go to the next picture with the birds. So again, here's the good soil. Here are some thorns and bushes and weeds. Here's the rock or rocks. Here's the hard path that would be heavily trampled. And the sower, he's throwing seeds. He doesn't care what it ends up. He's got a lot of seeds, so some of it ends up on the hard path. But ultimately, the birds come and they pick up the seed. Or the wind might just simply blow it away. This is pretty easy for us to understand. In this circumstance, someone with this response to hearing Jesus would have heard the gospel message, but because of this person's hard heart, the gospel seed never takes root, and there's no saving work that takes place. And Jesus also makes it pretty clear in his explanation that Satan has a lot to do with this. He says the devil. Satan plays a role in this. With this type of soil. Why would he do that? Because Satan hates the gospel message. Part of the gospel message is the story of his defeat, and yet Satan continues to wreak havoc in the world and in our personal lives, and he will do whatever it takes
And whatever's in his power to keep the gospel from taking root in our hearts. And we never want to minimize Satan's evil work from clouding our view of Jesus and his kingdom. We also must never disregard our own responsibility in receiving the seed of the gospel when it is within our grasp. But let's turn to the second soil, the rocky soil. Verse 6. This represents a shallow heart. Let me explain this one a bit. This would have been patches of soil, dirt that just kind of blows around, eventually falls onto maybe a patch of rocks. There would have been a very thin layer of soil, and if seed were to be thrown onto this patch, there would have been enough soil for perhaps a little plant to sprout, but there would be no place for the roots to be established because right underneath that thin soil is rock. The way that Jesus explains this type of soil is this: someone whose heart responds like the rocky soil is someone who hears the gospel and even receives it with joy. This kind of person might have attended a church service and heard a message, and this person might be all excited about the new hope in Jesus they've encountered, excited enough that maybe they even make a profession of faith. And I'll tell you what, none of that little scenario is, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem with the rocky soil is that there isn't enough room for growth. Perhaps this person that was once excited about Jesus, he or she might encounter some kind of season where there's trouble or suffering. Appropriate thing to do in that circumstance is to come to God, ask him for help, ask him for clarity. But this person, because he or she might have a shallow understanding of who Jesus is, might have all along really just viewed Jesus as an easy button for life. Perhaps this person really just thought of the Word as God's owner's handbook and really only had a shallow understanding of who our God is. And so the seed that was sprouted on this kind of soil quickly withers away because it never actually took root. Now, one way to prevent being part of the rocky soil is to be with believers on a consistent basis. That's one way. I don't just mean attending services on Sunday, though that is a very good thing. Joining a small group is a great way to prevent the rocky soil from being your soil. It's a great way to dig deeper into the faith where you can find meaningful, sustaining relationships with believers and you can see how they do life, and it's an opportunity for you to dig in the Word and explore it and see what it is that God has to say to you and about the kingdom. It's also an opportunity to share Jesus' love with the community and feed the poor and better the city. Doing life with believers on a consistent basis is one great way for your heart to grow rather than let it stay in a shallow place if that is your heart condition. There's a third soil type. It's the one found among the thorns. Here we go. Now this soil, it's really not pictured. It'd be somewhere down here. And this kind of heart, using Jesus' words, is a choked heart. People in this group have heard the gospel, and maybe they even attend church often. The problem is they have a divided heart. And it's very difficult to tell if they ever actually believed, because though on an intellectual level this group might understand the gospel, they may believe it intellectually at least, they might understand it. In reality, their lives, though, aren't producing fruit, because instead of devotion to Jesus, they are too concerned over the things of the world, like worries and riches and cares. And maybe it's on other things like pursuit of career, pursuit of relationships, pursuit of nicer things to own, which end up being too time-consuming and have choked out any time left for Jesus. Can you see how the thorns can overwhelm our attention? Notice, not all the things that I said are in and of themselves bad. There's really just good versions of those things and bad versions of those things. And there are plenty of bad things in the world and good things in the world. And look at this picture. This is actually a very nice picture. If you ask me, these flowers look very nice. But here are the thorns. But if this is your life, if your life is consumed by some of the things that I just mentioned and any other thing that maybe we encounter in life, life is pretty complicated and hard, isn't it? So really, I'm talking to just about all of us, including myself. It's very easy to see how the thorns can cloud out our view for Jesus. If your heart condition is of this thorny type, you may even have an understanding that you are a sinner, but you have no joy and rest because you have not Christ as Lord over your entire life, maybe just portions of it. And kids, hear this. Do video games ever consume too much of your time? Yes, parents, can get an amen there maybe? How about too much sports? How about too much internet? To the point where there's no room for God. I can't tell you exactly what the right balance for those examples are. It is okay to have fun. It is okay to be competitive and practice really hard on the field. It is okay to spend a lot of hours studying in front of a computer and set yourself up for the future, as long as your entire heart belongs to Jesus. See, at some point, you may ask yourselves, why am I not growing in my relationship with Jesus? When you might be forgetting that none of your activities ever involve Jesus. And one question we need to ask ourselves is, how often are we in the Word? How often are we in prayer? For some of us in the room, we haven't been in those things the entire month. I've been there. How do we know we're not the kind of soil that is of the thorny type? Just take a look at the patterns of your life, or maybe the pattern up until this point in your life. Does the pattern reveal thorns that you're often able to push aside, or are the thorns simply the things that you care most about? And we should care most about Jesus. All right, the fourth soil. The good soil, verse 8. This is the group that hears the gospel, and they say, yes, and I want more. That's what they say. They say, I want more of Jesus. And please understand what this looks like. This group hears the word of Jesus, and their hearts grow for Jesus. And when they retain, they persevere. When they persevere, there's fruit that's yielded 100-fold. Even in the good soil, though, it's going to take work. When we don't want to persevere, we quit. But when we persevere, we continue on even when the going gets tough. Even in the good soil, you find all kinds of bits of stone and thorns and weeds. But the good soil perseveres. It's not choked out by those things. And the heart of the good soil is a heart ready to be changed. A heart that allows the word to constantly change you. The more that Jesus speaks into your heart, do you have a heart that's willing to be conformed more like Jesus's? Or is it congealed? Does it stay in one place? The people of the good soil want to hear. They want to hear more from Jesus. They don't just attend church on the holidays or check the boxes. No, they invest their time, their talents, and treasures, and the investments of the soil yield 100-fold. Are you hearing that word? When the gospel starts taking roots in our hearts, we start getting to work and seeking out more, because there's no greater fruit than what is yielded from the seed of the gospel. Now, closer to the beginning, I asked each of us to consider the question, which soil am I? And it's at this point we need to do an activity. Kids, please make your way up to the stage. Make your way up. We need Miss Maddie as well. She already knows. We talked about this yesterday. We haven't forgotten it's Palm Sunday yet, right? I need you kids to make your way up here. Let's just do it. Yeah, let's just do it in a big way. Make your way all up here. Something falls over, not a big deal. Here, and let's pass out these palm branches. Everyone's getting a palm branch. Look at how big these things are. Wow. Palm Sunday is not the only place in Scripture where we read about palms and the way that people welcome the king into the city. There's a few other places. Of course, we see it in history as well. Those of you that know me know I like history. I heard that. Let's keep coming. Here, we got some more space. We need a few kids over here. We want to get everyone on stage. This is a celebratory day. We're going to celebrate. As was said, nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus made his way down to Jerusalem with a triumphal entry, and there was a great crowd that greeted Jesus, and they greeted him with palm branches. They laid them down at his feet, and they waved them. That'd be the natural thing to do if you're holding something like this. Now, kids, if you are of the good soil and you see Jesus coming into the city, how do you react with the palm branches? You wave them. Let's wave them. Wave them high. Wave them high. All righty. Now, Jesus came to Jerusalem to establish his kingdom or his kingship, but he did it in a way that the crowd wasn't expecting. The crowd was very joyful about the new king's entry, but many were waving their branches because they thought they had a new political leader. All right, let's put them down just for a moment. We're going to wave them again. The crowd was expecting a political leader, but instead they got a very different type of king. On Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem, and later that week, Friday, he would go all the way to the cross to conquer the evil one. That's how Jesus established his kingship. And because Jesus conquered death on the cross, his followers could now have the blessings of the kingdom. Imagine if this crowd was waving their branches, not because they had a new political leader, but because of all the blessings of the kingdom that are now all of ours in Christ, those of us that have received Christ and heard him. Children, I'm going to name five blessings. There's trillions of blessings of the kingdom, but I'm going to name five, and I need you to wave your branches after each blessing. Here's blessing number one, in no particular order. Forgiveness of sins. Number two, a changed heart. Three, a restored relationship with our Creator. Four, healing of brokenness across the world. And kingdom love that lasts forever. All right. Great job. Great job, children. Children, good job. Let's keep celebrating. Let's make our way down. Down, take the stairs. The crowd that greeted Jesus on Palm Sunday would have been comprised, maybe, of all four soil types. Now, Scripture does not say that, and we don't want to make assumptions in Scripture where we're not supposed to. Some things can be obvious or based off of history and so forth, but it is best to take Scripture at face value. The fact of the matter is, this was a crowd that was overjoyed to see Jesus, and that joy would have been the reaction of people of the good soil. And with a crowd that large, though, maybe, and again, Scripture doesn't say this, maybe the crowd that was joyful, that was grateful for their new king, maybe if this crowd was hundreds or maybe even 1,000 people, maybe in that large crowd there was someone of the hard path. Maybe there was a sprinkling of people whose hearts were actually of the stony, shallow type. Maybe there was a sprinkling of people, again, who were joyful in the moment, but whose hearts were actually of the thorny type, because actually they were more consumed with the worries and cares and riches of the world, Jerusalem, their own lives. After all, we all know that there was also a great crowd at the end of the week that wanted to crucify Jesus. Often when we read this parable of the sower, we read it and we say, I hope I'm a part of the good soil group. That might be one reaction. Another reaction might be, well, you know what, I actually think I'm a part of the second or third soils. And maybe a reaction that we have to for those of us that are in that category, we might say, you know what, I think I might be able to just squeeze on through the gates of heaven at the end of my life if I'm one of those second or third soils. Maybe I can just squeak by. Well, Jesus wants us to know that the fourth soil, the good soil, is the only soil that bears fruit. Hear this, none of us should ever try to find comfort if we're in that second or third soil type, because it's just not there. You cannot find that in Scripture. But Jesus wants us to be the good soil, the ones who hear him. And the great thing we may ask ourselves is, you know, what soil am I? We may not like our answer, but we can ask, what soil do I want to be? Just because we're one soil doesn't mean we are that soil for life. How can I be the good soil that bears fruit? What is the fruit referring to? Well, the fruit could be a whole lot of things that all kind of point to the same thing, but I'll tell you what. What I'm certain of that the fruit includes is it's definitely a changed life. The fruit includes a changed life. A changed life that is no longer deaf to the truths about God. A changed life that isn't hardened to the word and refuses to accept it. A changed life that doesn't have a narrow view of who Jesus is. A changed life that isn't choked out by the worries and riches and cares of the world. A changed life that is eager to hear. Jesus is so intent on people hearing his word, and he further reinforces this point with light from a lamp. Someday the truth of the kingdom will not be hidden. And he goes even further. Even our own secrets, as scary as that sounds, those things won't be hidden either. Just like a light of the lamp, shining light into the dark places that perhaps we keep hidden. But Jesus also says, if we hear him, that scary scenario won't be so scary despite our transgressions. It will even be rewarding, and we will even want to spread the light. We should want to spread the light right now. Unlike those of us who don't hear him, who won't like the light, are you someone who hears Jesus? Remember what Jesus said about his mother and brothers. Those of us that are part of Jesus' true spiritual family, we not only hear Jesus, but we put the hearing into practice. Why would we be so compelled to follow Jesus this way? Because hearing Jesus means we have a clearer view of the kingdom, which is the reality around us. The kingdom is at hand. Some of us come in here because we want to figure out how to notch up our way in our lives. And we feel that way because all the thorns in the world, they keep pulling us in different directions. But Jesus wants us to hear something bigger. He wants us to know about the kingdom. Because he is the kingdom. Because he is the king of the kingdom. And his reign is supreme. And all those things in life that want to take the king's place, all of them fall short. The kingdom of God comes into your life by hearing. So be careful how you hear. And Jesus will keep sowing seed. He wants the word to implant in hearts that it is intended for. And Jesus will succeed in that. Why does the sower keep throwing seeds generously? Because the sower is faithful. The sower is kind. The sower is God. The sower has no shortage of seed, and he is more persistent than we are. No matter how unpersistent we are, God is a better forgiver. He keeps throwing the seed because he wants you to hear. Kids, do you hear? Wave your palm branches if you do. Wave them. Let's pray. Father, we bless you on this Palm Sunday. Thank you, Father, that you have given us your word yet again, allowed us to explore it and ask questions and hear answers and perhaps new ways today, Father. I pray, Father, over every single one of us, there's probably every single bit of soil represented in this room. Father, I pray that you would simply meet us where we are. You are a good Father who does. And we have all the evidence in the world to know that you do because you sent your Son, Jesus, to be among us, Father. He sat and prayed right next to us, Father. He cares that much for us. He weeps over us. He loves us entirely. Father, this week we are reminded that he went all the way to the cross, Father. We're so grateful for Jesus' love for us, Father. Would you simply compel us to follow him this week and every day of our lives? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.